It's time for another installment of the Bet the Board Monday podcast. Of course, we come to you every Monday and Thursday throughout the course of the NFL regular season. And before we get down to business, and I introduce the man on the other end of the line, I want to say thank you for all the listeners out there who continue to offer feedback. The numbers show that you guys have really enjoyed our content. The stats go up and up with each of these installments, so we can only hope to keep moving the needle forward and that you guys will continue to enjoy. Again, the man on the other end of the line, he of Pain Insider. You can follow him on Twitter at such a name and see his great work at paininsider.com. Pain, have you fully digested everything we saw yesterday in the National Football League?
We're getting there. Still have some of the all 22 film work to go through, but for the most part, everything's digested, and we've looked over a lot of our notes and a lot of interesting things this week. Some teams that impressed, some teams that really, really crapped the bed. And I don't know where you want to start first.
Well, one thing to remind listeners of, if you're tuning in to try and get a full preview of tonight's Monday Night Football showdown between Houston and Pittsburgh, that will come at the end of the podcast. Well, let's start with the negative first, so we can be glass half full guys as we build momentum before we share our opinions on tonight's game. And let's start with the Dirty Birds and the Atlanta Falcons, who yet again, another pathetic performance on offense, muster 7 points on the road at Baltimore and get absolutely boat raced. You know, what do we make of the Falcons at this point, and is this team going to start to figure it out? Because home or road, they have not been a good football team the last handful of weeks.
Yeah, I think that's kind of been the sell on this team, is they haven't been good at home, and when they're not good at home, they're not going to be good anywhere. I know we did see some sharp money on this side. Sevens disappeared on Thursday and Friday, and it got as low as 6. And it's just one piece of information that I just wanted nothing to do with. I really like the Ravens. Obviously, the Ravens, different team at home. So there was a big dichotomy there with these two teams with their home-road splits. Falcons right now are just so beat up on the offensive line, and that's really hindering what they're doing offensively. This is a team that obviously has defensive issues, but now they're not able to score, and it's just a team that right now is unbettable. Maybe the trip to London, away from Atlanta, away from the States, gets their mind off things and has them refocus in a similar fashion like the Dolphins did.
Yeah, and I think you talk about the Falcons. Of course, X's and O's play such a huge role, and sometimes when you try and figure out situational spots and overvalued or undervalued opportunities, this would appear to potentially be a good opportunity to bet him, but against Detroit's defensive line, again, I echo your same sentiments, not a game that I'd really want to get anywhere near from a betting perspective. I guess two teams, too, now as we look at one of the other big games from Sunday, heading in opposite directions, Cincinnati and Indianapolis. We've talked a little bit about Indy in the past, about how odds makers don't really respect them. A lot of the sharper groups out there don't, but the general public loves them because they continue to come cover numbers. We saw yesterday agreement from some of the professionals and the public laying the 3 with the Colts against the Bengals.
Yeah, we've talked about it, you know, ad nauseum almost with this team, and it's just a really, really tough team to gauge. And not only do you have the luck factor of just raising everything his teammates do on the field, the defense has been a pleasant surprise. They're actually getting pressure on the quarterback, which we didn't think would happen. Even Walden went down early in that game, and they just continued to get pressure. And I think this was a game with two teams going in opposite directions, and that's what we saw. And it's really tough to kind of gauge this Colts team, but it was kind of that perfect storm where Cincinnati is extremely tough to gauge at this point. People were ready to crown them champions after the 3-0 start, and I think yesterday had more to do with how bad Cincinnati is right now as it did with how good the Colts were. I really do, and I think this Cincinnati team is just, maybe this next week is where things get headed in the right direction, but they're just not a good football team. The coaching is horrible. They're not making any adjustments. They really miss Zimmer. So this is a tough it was a perfect storm this weekend in that game.
Cincinnati, 8 first downs, 1 for 13 on third down, and went 3 and out 8 straight times to start that football game before they were able to go 4 plays and gain 26 yards to close out that half. So you talk about that. I believe one of the friends of the program, Joe Fortenbaugh, had a pretty funny tweet talking about A.J. Green, his actual value to the point spread for Cincinnati may be immeasurable at this point, talking about him as a 13- to 14-point player given the struggles we've seen from the Bengals.
Yeah, I saw that. It was pretty funny. And one thing, when you looked at this game, And a lot of people will say, how do you adjust your power numbers and things of that nature? And this is the perfect game to kind of delve into that a little bit. And most weeks when you're not factoring in any injuries, anything across the board with injuries, you might have half a point or a point movement on your power numbers. At the very, very most, 1.5 points. So I know a lot of people ran to the window with the Colts this week, but when you just flash back 3 weeks ago, this is a Bengals team that traveled on the road to New England and were laying 3. So we've seen a 6-point adjustment there, and that even wasn't enough. I mean, it was pretty shocking to see.
And you talk about an adjustment. Normally we'll start to discuss some of the look-ahead lines for this particular week and what they mean. Cincinnati would have been a 3.5-point favorite against the Ravens this coming Sunday, and now the market opens 1.5. Have to imagine it's going to be tough for a lot of bookmakers getting any money coming in on Cincinnati despite being a short home favorite, a building where they've dominated both against the spread and straight up, the Carolina game notwithstanding.
Yeah, I think that'll probably be a game where you'll see that sharp square split. There'll be a huge dichotomy there. I think professionals will end up looking at Cincinnati. And, you know, it's probably going to be another game where we call it the perfect storm, where Baltimore just hasn't been great on the road. Huge splits for them home and away, and same thing with Cincinnati. So I think it'll probably be a game where you see professionals on the home team and the public on the road team.
And a similar spot, albeit a little bit reverse, we did see another game that saw the professionals and public go head-to-head, the professionals getting the best of the Miami Dolphins, who went on the road and put together a complete effort against the Chicago Bears. What do we make of these two teams to appear to be headed in opposite directions? I know we're going to talk a lot more about the Bears maybe today, if not, but on Thursday for their game against the New England Patriots too.
Yeah, you talk about the Dolphins team. We've talked about it a lot with me being on the podcast and me getting great information with this team in my backyard. The national perception on this team isn't very good, and so there tends to be value on this Dolphins team. When you talk to people nationally, it's not a good team. For me, I'm down here. This team is one of the most talented football teams in the entire NFL. If they get any quarterback play, just average quarterback play, they're going to be a successful team. If they can get any coaching, they're going to be a successful team. So right now you're looking at a team 3-3. They do well on the road. They have for years. And you have a below-average coach, below-average quarterback, and they're just super talented. Chicago, on the other hand, last week, again, it was a team that I don't think, you look at the record, they might deserve one win to this point in the season. They've been very fortunate to be even where they're at this point. But I think moving forward, you get some Brandon Marshall calling guys out, talking about how talented this team is, and I think you probably get a valiant effort for them on the road this week. So, you know, buy 1 week, sell next week, and I think that's probably a decent spot looking ahead to Chicago this week.
Talking about the Bears, a team fortunate to have one win, spoken like a man who's sitting on a reg season win total under 9 for those same Chicago Bears. As we talk about, go ahead. I don't want to cut you off.
I think it's a pretty decent bet, and I'll be pretty irate if it does not cash.
Well, you know, one team that hasn't been a good bet this year, the New Orleans Saints, somehow letting a hard-fought road victory slip through their fingers, squandering a 23-10 lead late. They, of course, have a big date on Sunday Night Football against the Green Bay Packers. You know, how do we go about handicapping the Saints, knowing that their road-home splits exist, but that odds makers have adjusted for that? Saints have been one of the worst bets week in, week out that we've seen in the NFL this season.
You know, at this stage, I think a lot of people are pointing to something being internally wrong with the Saints, and it's tough to neglect that fact. Even before the bye week, really, really struggled with the Tampa Bay team. This past week, struggled again, got out early, but really struggled. I don't think it was an overall great matchup, X's and O's for them. And they coughed the game away late. Sean Payton, obviously, very frustrated. We heard about his kind of little rant in the post-game presser. So, for me, though, they get back home. Green Bay's on a roll. This line is pretty, to me, I think a little ridiculous. And I think, again, it'll be another game where professionals will back the home team here at a short price. And I hate to label it a must win, but at this stage it looks like that. And as bad as New Orleans has played, you look up at the division, they're one game out behind Carolina, and you still got two division games against Carolina. So their season still has a lot of life left, and they could easily win this division.
Yeah, pretty interesting to see on this game. The number opened at a pick and immediately gets bet out to New Orleans minus two. Not as if the Saints look great in that loss against the Lions. We know the Packers have appeared to find something defensively, which was their big question mark early. You've seen their futures number come down to win the Super Bowl, and still money coming in against them for this Sunday night showdown, talking about how important that game is to the Saints. From all the teams we talked about that have struggled, pain, and kind of disappointed a little bit, let's talk about the two teams that a lot of people are lauding as the best in their respective conferences, the Denver Broncos, who now move to 5-1, 6-1 on the season, and the Dallas Cowboys, who continue to rack up wins in somewhat improbable fashion.
This Denver team, I think they're really getting it together on the defensive side of the ball. Now, obviously, they go out there and hang, 40-plus points last night. The offense has never been an issue. The defense, though, seems to be playing much better. They added a lot of pieces in the offseason. They're beginning to gel, and that's without their middle linebacker in Trevathan, who I think will only add to what this defense can do. So Denver definitely now the head honcho in the NFL. They proved that in a national spotlight game last night. When you talk about the Cowboys, we're just finally – at what point do we fade this team? We tried it again this past week. I think the Giants were probably still the right side. The defensive numbers still aren't great, and I think we talked about this before we got on the phone. They're just not on the field enough for that to kind of play out. But, again, the defense hasn't been great. It's been good, better than what people expected. They just haven't been on the field at all, and that's because of what the Cowboys are doing on third down. Now, number one in the league in third down efficiency coming into this past week. They're hitting 58%. League average is about 40%, 41%. And I know we traded texts back and forth between this game, but what Dallas did on third down had nothing to do with how well they ran the ball. They simply were extending these drives via the air on third and long, which was very frustrating. You talk about that first drive where they score a touchdown, third and eight converted, third and five converted, and finally a third and 10 to Escobar. Second drive, third and six, third and nine. Third TD drive, a third and six. And the fourth one that kind of put the nail in the coffin, a third and eight where they converted to finally punch in for a touchdown. So they've done it through the air. And at some point, that's going to revert to the mean.
Yeah, simply amazing what they've been able to do. And you talk about getting the best of the number. You know, we personally took seven and had to lay a little bit of a price on the bye. Thought worst case scenario, you're looking at a push, but Dallas finds a way to drive the length of the field, and the man who probably doesn't get enough credit for what he means to the Cowboys, Dan Bailey, simply automatic anything inside of 50 and even up to 55 yards. But the gentleman on the other end of the line for those folks as we look to reset a bit, he of Pain Insider, you can follow him on Twitter at that exact same Twitter handle, or you can see his great work at paininsider.com. I'm your co-host, Todd Furman. You can follow me on Twitter at Todd Furman, or read a lot of my written content at toddstake.com. Payne, when we shift our attention towards NFL's Week 8 schedule, we look at some of these numbers, potentially what's been adjusted, what hasn't been adjusted. We talked a little bit about the Bengals and Ravens and what oddsmakers have had to do. Let's talk about the Patriots and Bears. This number opened 7. You see it didn't really last all that long in the market. 6.5, pretty much the consensus, not only offshore, but also here in Vegas right now.
Yeah, I think this will be a game that kind of teeter-totters back and forth around this key number. Like I said earlier, I think professionals will side with the dog here. We'll see. I know Chris opened 6.5. There are some still sevens out there. At this point, I'm not sure how much money we see on Chicago or how early it comes, but that will be the side, and the professionals will obviously be looking to grab that key important number of 7, whether it comes via the buy or they wait a little bit.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see, like you said, when this number will start to take off. Typically, as we know, when we do the podcast on Thursday, that's when a lot of these numbers really go. We've seen a good amount of, funny money in the markets early in the week. Jacksonville, Cleveland, a prime example last week, 4 out to 6. And, of course, that number ends up closing on Sunday. Like we told people on the podcast to grab it, it's the peak while they possibly could. Another game worth talking about, you look at Arizona and the way they've performed. Only one loss on the season, a short favorite getting Philadelphia off the bye. Arizona right now a 2.5-point favorite in this game. How do we even go about trying to figure out what the real Eagles team is, the side that the professionals have looked to fade week in, week out, or the team that we saw flashes of brilliance finally going into the bye against the New York Giants?
Yeah, this is one of the tougher games because we have Arizona's home field advantage a touch above the average. So we have about 3.25. And so this game, to me, signals That we think Philadelphia is probably a 1-point favorite on a neutral field, and I don't know if I'm buying that. But obviously Philadelphia off the bye week, Philadelphia looked like they got things rolling offensively and even defensively on that Sunday night game. I want to see where this goes. I'd like to dig in, get a little more information, but for right now it's a game that I would want absolutely nothing to do with. But I think one that I would watch, obviously, to try to gain a lot of information moving forward at we're about the halfway point and find something valuable for the second half of the season.
Well, and a game that we know everyone will watch, and of course we'll cover it in more detail on Thursday. San Diego and Denver, you look at this from a look-ahead line standpoint, that number would have been 6.5. Denver, a dominating home win against San Francisco. The Chargers look pretty lethargic moving the football against Kansas City, who was one of the stronger positions taken by a lot of the pros this past weekend. Number out to 7.5. Safe to say that this 7.5 isn't going to last. We really think it'll end up at 7, so if you like the dog, to move as early as possible.
You know, this is going to be a tough one for me to gauge, and I've had issues gauging these primetime spots, when to go, when not to go. We know professional money will be on San Diego here. Obviously, they will want to grab the 7.5. But with this primetime spot, we know that the public will be on Denver. We know, based on what we saw Sunday night in the national spotlight, they'll be even more so on Denver. So at what point do you go? I'm not sure books can come off this dead zone number, so to speak, and go to a 7. We'll see if that happens. One thing, I know we all want to look at Denver and say this will be a great spot to fade them, but when you talk about when Denver wins, Denver blows teams out. In this Peyton Manning era, 33 wins in 2-plus seasons, 32 of them by 7 or more. So when they win, they blow teams out. So this is a game that if you like San Diego, you really have to think they have a shot to win this game straight up.
The Chargers have definitely been a thorn in Denver's side going back to last season's two regular season meetings, the playoff game as well. San Diego seems to at least have confidence when they take on the Broncos, knowing how important this game is in the division. And I guess a game that probably won't attract a ton of attention if it wasn't in one of the later time slots. Just interested to get your take kind of off the cuff. I know we didn't discuss it before we came on. Oakland and Cleveland. Cleveland, a 7-point favorite against the Raiders here. We talked about how we thought they would struggle last week in Jacksonville. Look like the Browns have been known to look. This game here, does it feel rich for Cleveland to be laying this kind of number, or is that where we're at, given how this team has climbed the power ratings, that they're getting this much respect in the betting market?
Well, they've definitely climbed the power ratings, and I think that has a lot to do with it. But Oakland still has not been able to show that they can win a game. Now, traveling across the country, I get it. It's the 4:25 p.m. slot, so I don't really put any value into that team traveling across the country, although they've been very bad in that spot. This said, for me, when you talk about this Oakland team, at some point the wheels are going to completely come off. Now, I know they're 0-6, but last week against the Chargers, they gave a really inspired effort, and I know Tony Sperano firsthand. I've seen this guy coach down here in Florida. He is not great X's and O's, but the guys always love him. The guys play their butts off for him, and we saw him kind of bury the football and say the new season starts here, the cheerleader, rah-rah type. That works only if you can eventually turn it into wins, and Oakland is still falling short, so at what point do they stop believing and just absolutely lay an egg? And I think this might be that spot.
Yeah, they definitely didn't look good against Arizona. A bit of a hangover effect lingering from their near miss against San Diego. A number that did take tons of professional money, though, came in on the dog in that spot. All the hooks were eliminated before game time, but Arizona got out to an early lead and was able to coast. Before we get into tonight's game, Payne, anything else really jump out at you between the next time we talk to these fine listeners as far as sharing wisdom about where some of these numbers, whether they be sides or totals, may be headed?
You know, I don't think one game that'll be interesting to see, and it'll come into play on the game we talk about next, is it'll be interesting to see where Indianapolis-Pittsburgh kind of reopens once we figure out what the outcome of tonight's game is. So that's one to kind of keep your eyes peeled. I think Pittsburgh might have some value if they were to lose in this spot tonight. So that'll be something to kind of keep an eye on. And I think the other interesting game is Buffalo and the Jets. We saw that open 2.5. Most of the 2.5s are gone at this point. I think that's probably a decent side to look at. So other than the Chicago game, which we touched on, that I think will be moving, San Diego, Denver, again, another game to keep an eye on, see where that movement goes, because I think we'll have, again, another sharp square divide in that game. So just keep your eyes peeled on those numbers in those games.
should always be interesting to watch. And of course, the game tonight, we've seen a ton of movement here. We're Houston on the road at Heinz Field. The Steelers open as a 4-point favorite. Minimal resistance to this number, now down to a 2.5 consensus. There are some threes at a couple of the sharper offshore shops, but if you want to bet the dog, you're paying nearly $1.30 to put those 3 points in your backyard. And from the people we've talked to, I mean, it seems to be that the sharp and public, to a certain extent, coming in on Houston, seeing a Pittsburgh Steelers side that's down, have struggled to do anything exceptionally well offensively or defensively. But what are you hearing on your end in regards to the side and total in this one?
I think the listeners are going to continue to hate us. They waited 20 minutes, and they're looking for a GD pick here. But right now at this number, I don't think Houston has much value at 2.5. I made this game 2. Obviously, at 4, there's a lot of value on Houston. They stunk the bed last week in terms of how they came out of the box. Resilient effort late. They didn't quit, so you like a team that does not quit. And I think all week they've talked about getting out to a fast start. So if you like Pittsburgh, we know sharp money has been on Houston. I think you probably get a better price on Pittsburgh if you like that side waiting to half, or if you're a live better waiting for something live to pop up. The total, to me, we've seen it tick down a notch. I've been hearing whispers that potentially could be, a little dummy in the market. But when you talk about these defenses, both of them, whether it comes to run defense or pass defense, are in the bottom half of this league. So I would slightly lean towards the over here. And if this continues to come down, 43 is that key number. That might be a price that I look to enter the market in on the over.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about it all the time, and we will all season long until that worm starts to turn. Prime time overs have been the way to go. These teams seem to go out there and want to try and put on their best display. Refs not afraid to throw flags and prolong some of these drives, yet the professionals continue to come in betting these games under. Should be interesting to see, as you alluded to, if we can get down to a 43, because inevitably you will see some over money coming in. And for those folks who, like you said, do tune in hoping that we have a pretty strong opinion, remember, not every game on the board is going to offer the same type of value opportunity. So just because it's played on a Thursday, Sunday night, or Monday night doesn't mean you have to get involved and invested. There are plenty of great opportunities to be able to line those pockets and get to the window throughout the course of the week. But Payne, before we put a wrap on this fine show, any final pearls of wisdom before we talk to these fine folks again on Thursday?
No, I think you pretty much nailed everything. And just to kind of make that point a little further, if this game was being played on Sunday, most likely nobody's even talking about it. So just because it's on Monday or Thursday or Sunday night doesn't mean you necessarily have to play the game, especially at a burnt number like this. If you liked Houston, we obviously know that's the professional side, and I know a lot of the listeners want to get that kind of information and be on the sides of the professionals, but the professionals were on this game at 4, we're on it at 3.5, they're not on it at 2.5. So for me, if you're looking to back Houston, that train has left the station.
Always so important to get the best of the number. Fortunately, live betting and halftime opportunities do abound, so encourage folks to try and explore some of those things that they have at their fingertips for tonight's game. For Payne Insider, he of Payne Insider on Twitter and PayneInsider.com. I'm your co-host, Todd Furman. Best of luck with your selection tonight on the Houston-Pittsburgh game. And remember, we'll be right back at you on Thursday to break down the Denver-San Diego game, along with preview some of the other marquee matchups for the weekend. And hopefully, we'll see you at the window.